It won't work. Oh, it won't work. I don't know what's wrong. It won't work. It won't work. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. It won't work. It won't work. It won't work.
Okay, Jimmy. I'll be back later. But if you want it, I've got a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich downstairs ready for you.
Okay, thanks, Mom. I'm going to figure this out, and I'll get back to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Jimmy.
Hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Ruthman. Thank you for letting me get that out. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. I'm going to say it. The great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going?
Yeah, it's it's great, Jason. Blah, blah, blah. It's great.
Good. I'm glad it's great. So, Chris, today, just a little recap for everybody because a lot's been going on. Mondays, the Paid Search Podcast, topical episodes. Today, we're continuing the perfect Google Ads account checklist, part two. And then a week from now on Monday, we're going to finish it up with part three. Thursdays, we're doing Q&A episodes. We're answering your questions about Google Ads, pay-per-click, whatever you want to write in about. Leave us a question on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube comments, and primarily paidsearchpodcast.com on the contact page. And then on Mondays, we also do our after show on Patreon, $2 a month, and you can join us there for those where we talk just personal life and the business of PPC. So Chris, little reset of what we're going here. We're going to talk about Opteo. We're going to talk about Directive. We're going to read a review, and then we're going to get into the perfect Google Ads account checklist part two. So why don't you tell us about Opteo?
Yeah. So guys, as Jason said, we're on episode two of, or I should say part two of a great episode about how to improve, how to get all the checkboxes checked on your Google Ads. There's one extra checkbox that we're not going to talk about, but this is the answer. It's productivity. How can you get things done faster in Google Ads? We're going to go through a ton of things. Guys, by the time we get through the end of this checklist, you're going to have a ton of things to look at, to consider, to check, to improve, to optimize. Opteo is the tool to get you there. Opteo.com/PSP. They are offering a 6-week extended trial for you to try out their software designed to help you run, manage, optimize, set up, build Google Ads campaigns. It's a top-to-bottom Google Ads tool. They also do other networks, but I'm a little biased. I think Google Ads is the one and only network for me, but they work with those other inferior networks too. You can try it for free, no credit card required. Improve your keywords, improve your ad copy, do all kinds of tests, get alerts, get email alerts in your inbox to tell you, uh-oh, something's wrong, it needs your attention. You can't hire someone to respond faster than that. It's a great tool. I really like it. Jason likes it. We recommend it. Opteo.com/PSP.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to thank Directive Consulting, the go-to agency, search engine marketing agency for B2B and enterprise campaigns. Directive Consulting has created an awesome new training platform called Institute, where you can learn digital marketing the right way. I want to tell you how they helped Active PDF and then how you can learn these strategies from Institute. So Active PDF is the leading global provider of server-side PDF automation and digital transformation tools. Using Active PDF gives teams the ability to create, convert, modify, view, extract, and automate data to and from PDF files within software applications. One of Active PDF's largest drivers of new business is through leads generated from product trial signups. One of the significant challenges faced was the quality of user signing up, which drove up the cost of the product trials. We've all been there. It's not just getting leads, it's the quality of those leads. To overcome the obstacles of off-target lead generation and the larger costs of these product trials, the Directive team concentrated on centralizing high-intent keywords that would resonate with users and condensed online forms for an optimized visitor experience. Directive supported ActivePDF in driving one of their most successful quarters in terms of growth, with a 296% increase in trials from 324 trials to 1,283 trials, and a 238% increase in the conversion rate from 1.91% to 6.44%. And if you want to learn exactly how Directive drives these types of results for their clients, you need to check out their digital marketing course called Institute. They teach you step-by-step, click-by-click, all the necessary skills required to launch your own successful digital marketing campaign. Sign up today at directiveconsulting.com/institute and you will get 4 lessons free of charge. Once again, that's directiveconsulting.com/institute to get your 4 free lessons from the pros. We will have links to Directive Consulting's Institute and also Opteo, so you can get your free trial there in our show description on all your podcast players. So Chris, I need you to center here. I need you to ground yourself. I need you to not put your mind in the mindset of reality.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to accept that I started this segment too soon and flow with me as I go back to the review. I was doing so good, but I got lost there. So we love our 5-star reviews. Raja from the United States of America. I love the USA. Information sprinkled with fun. Jason and Chris are excellent hosts. I feel the yin and yang best describes the chemistry that they bring to the podcast. Keep up the good work, guys. And I appreciate the free resource you have made available. A big thank you. Keep having fun. You hear that, Chris?
Mm.
We're having fun.
Yeah.
So I want to thank that listener for their review. Those reviews help grow our show with the algorithms. They share it to more people. So we appreciate that. Now, Chris, getting back to a mindset game here,
mm.
I need you to take yourself out of the day-to-day reality of managing Google Ads accounts, where things come up and people have different goals and you can't just do perfection all the time. I don't think it's possible all the time, but
yeah.
We want to have the mindset of perfection as a place to get to. So as we get into a mindset of perfection, some of the things we're going to talk about today are not necessarily day-to-day things. They're just kind of mindset things that when you have the ability to get an account, when you're trying to get it to a perfect place, you have that ability. It's a good situation for that. These are the things that we would think about. So Chris, last Monday, we talked about keywords and settings, and it was an extensive conversation. That's only 2 words.
Yeah.
Keywords and settings. But keywords and settings mean so many different things. So we had a good conversation about that. And today we're going to talk about ad groups, ads, and extensions, the way things are kind of grouped together, and then the way the public sees them, conversions, and kind of the perfect conversion setup. I think there's one kind of secret there. And then remarketing. We're going to talk about remarketing extensively. And then when we do part 3, Chris, those are some weird topics. Yeah, they're just not topics we talk about a lot, heavy. But it's going to get weird. Yeah, it's going to get heavy and weird. My first marriage. So, Chris, ad groups, ads, and extensions.
Okay.
Where do you want to start here? Do you want to start with ad groups?
Yeah.
Do you want to start with how you think about those in a perfect scenario?
Okay. So some of you will be surprised by this and some of you won't. Depends on how long you've listened. But for me, ideally, ad groups are not going to be based on precision of keywords. You know, I have all my broad match in one and all my phrase match in another, or I have single keyword ad groups, or I have triple keyword ad groups, which I see a lot of people doing, where they have broad, phrase, and exact in one ad group, broad, phrase, and exact. I mean, that's nice. Oh, look what you did there. So, I mean, it's great, but ideally what I'm going to do is I'm going to achieve my goal of delivering the best ad to the consumer, and I'm going to achieve Google's goal of delivering the best experience to the searcher, and I'm going to go with themed ad groups. And what that means is if someone searches for service A, I'm going to deliver ads and a landing page that speaks directly to service A. If someone changes that a little bit. If they have a synonym in the keyword, if they have a slight change in the keyword, it's still service A. I don't need a new ad group just because they use the word service versus company. Or, you know, just because they have a location word, I don't need a separate ad group that's just for geographic locations. I'm going to go with themes. So I'm going to have service A, product A in one, service B, C, D, all the different services, all the different things. And I'm going to serve those up most of the time in ideal situations, a perfect campaign. Most of the time, companies are going to have a limited number. So I might be talking about, I mean, it depends on how much the spend is, but typically it's around 8, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 ad groups to start off with. There might be more as you start to build things and realize that some things need specialized ad copy or something like that. Something's higher in the funnel, lower in the funnel, but that's it. Simple approach based on themes, based on delivery of the messaging, not because the keyword is different, not because the match type is different, not because there's a geo term, but simply based on the messaging of the ad copy.
Yeah. Chris, when I think about perfection, I think about it from two perspectives. My perspective and the ability to manage the account as effectively as possibly, perfectly, and then giving the right page ad to the user, giving them what they were looking for. So that's why I also like themed ad groups. And just an example, you have the word injury lawyer, injury attorney. Those are two different words. Someone could be very tempted to come up with two different ad groups for that. I've done it myself.
Yeah.
Just this week, I was looking at search results and I was like, oh man, this other guy's showing up above me. I wonder if it's because I did a search injury attorney and their ad says attorney and mine says lawyer and it's a quality score thing. It's very tempting to think that way. But then I refresh and then I had an ad that said attorney and it's not like that helped out. So it's very tempting to think that way, but there's no difference in terms of the actual person on the end of that search. They're looking for a lawyer, attorney, whatever you want to call it. And so I want to be able to serve up the right page, the right ad, give them exactly what they're looking for, and not really get in a mindset of like matching the words or getting too worried about my control over quality score, which I may not be able to control to the extent I think I can.
Right.
And just focus on the human experience when it comes to theming. But then, Chris, I also theme ad groups from a management perspective. When I'm running themed ad groups on an account I've been running for a while, my management is perfection. Because no matter what comes up, whether a client wants to prioritize a certain type of service that's in one campaign over another one because he makes more money from that service versus the other one so he can bid more, whether a crazy new advertiser comes into the market and I need to play off of them and adjust to what they're doing, or we're in a situation where just something in the world is happening, like a hurricane or something, and I need to adjust bids or adjust ad copy. Or we all get in situations where clients say, hey, I need to get this in my ad copy right now. And I had that just this week where someone offers a mobile service, a remote consultation service, and we had to update our ads. Very hard to do if you don't have themed ad groups and you know exactly where you're looking, where you change ads or change bids, or when you come up with new keywords, where to throw them in. So both from a management perspective with perfection and then also giving the right ads and pages to people, to me, it's all about themed ad groups. So that's how we both think about ad groups. Now, what about when it comes to ad testing, Chris? I don't think you can call a Google Ads campaign perfect if you're not testing ads.
Yeah.
So how complex does this need to be? What is your perfect ad testing process look like? Are you running full-blown experiments or are you just putting in new ads? What does a perfect, manageable, effective ad testing process look like for you?
For me, and you know, you go and read the Google help, sometimes we completely agree with the Google documentation, other times we don't. In this instance, I do not agree with the Google documentation to have a responsive search ad right off the front. So with ad copy, I prefer to take a very systematic approach. And I cannot take a systematic approach unless I am controlling the messaging down to exactly the order that the headlines are showing, to exactly which headlines show more often, which ones are more prominent. I know people are going to say, well, Chris, you can pin certain things in first position, second position. No, no, no. I want even more, because here's my idea on ads. You whether you do 2, 4, 6, 8, 16 ads, I don't really think that necessarily means perfection. I don't think volume is really going to be a perfection scenario, because some people might be spending $20,000 a month and others are spending $200 a month. And so I can't establish what the right number of ads are. But what I can establish is how I determine which ads to test. And usually my approach is based on direct competition between benefits, themes, numbers, percentages, prices, things like that. Okay, so for example, I might be doing a pest control company, something like that, and you know, the messaging on one might be an emotional push. You know, like, oh, you can, you know, be sure that you don't have termites in your home. You know, don't let summer creep up on you and you have a flea and tick problem. You know, a very emotional type of thing. The next ad might be something based on actionable price. Pest control services starting at, you know, X a month. You know, and literally the first headline says pest services X, you know, X dollars a month.
Could even start with a dollar sign.
Yeah. Even more aggressive, absolutely. And then third, I might have a benefit or a feature of the service. You know, I mean, there's a lot of features and benefits that I wouldn't know about in certain industries, but you could think of some reason why someone would subscribe to a certain service because they like the fact that they offer every room in the house and the attic. You know, whatever makes you stand out above other advertisers, that's a feature. And whatever makes the person happy about what's accomplished by that service or feature, that's a benefit. And you could push that in a separate fourth ad. So that's the way that it looks for me. That's a perfect scenario, because on starting a Google Ads campaign, I need to know, are they going to react emotionally? Are they going to react practically, which is prices? Are they going to react feature versus benefit?
Very systematic.
Yep. Absolutely.
Very organized.
Yep.
Is your, in your bathroom at night where your toothbrushes and all that, is that clean? Oh. Is that like super clean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Side note, I look at my wife's sink and cry in despair. It's disgusting. It's just awful.
Oh, really?
She doesn't listen to the podcast, so we're safe. It's just gross.
Do you have your next haircut already scheduled?
Jason, you know me so well. Of course I do.
All right. Do you already, your next CrossFit session, do you already have a number you're trying to hit for a certain exercise?
No, just survive.
Okay. That's funny. When you eat a plate of food, do you finish the vegetables at a different time than the meat? Do you keep everything separate, or will you dip those green beans into that mashed potatoes?
No, it's just all together. This is getting a little weird now.
Do you cut your breast of chicken into little small pieces with a knife all at once and then eat them?
I feel like
piece by piece with
I feel
a
like
fork,
you're getting
or
into
you just cut each time.
You're just getting into weird area. Now, this is not precise and strategic. This is just weird.
This is not weird. I will hold back my next question because it was about to get extremely weird.
Okay, thank you.
But Chris, no, I was just kind of thinking about how you have a very organized thought process about ad copy. And I'll take my pants off right now and show the world. I don't have an organized.
You can do it with your pants on.
I don't have.
You can be honest and share with everyone. Yeah, put it back on.
Okay, I'll put it back on. Hang on. Okay.
There we go.
Chris, I don't have that thinking when it comes to ad copy. My thinking is, it's more, what do I feel in the moment? What do I sit down and want to think about and want to test out with ad copy? Sometimes it's the emotional stuff. Sometimes it's the straight to the dollar number stuff. I don't really have a preset idea of the way I want to tech an account when I make a new account, but I think that's fine. I think ad testing, ad copy creation, that's going to be one of the most unique to the manager parts of a perfect Google Ads account. But I think the biggest point, and let me know if you agree with this, is that you're actively testing out new ad copy, trying to beat your existing winning ads with click-through rate and possibly, if you're looking at it, conversion rate.
Mm.
Is that the main point, doing that on a regular basis, however you feel like getting it done?
Yeah. Well, I'll throw one thing in here. I absolutely have clients where I have celebrated when the conversion or when the click-through rate dropped.
Dropped.
Yeah. Because
oh yeah, it's one of the stupidest. It's a sign of a stupid Google Ads manager to only look at click-through rate and not look at conversion rate.
Yeah.
On ad copy.
Exactly.
You agree with that?
Oh, exactly right. Because I celebrated when click-through rate dropped, but conversion rate went up because I put scary prices, headline one, headline two, right in there. I'm like, don't click on this unless you're ready to spend $20,000. Click-through rate went down, conversion rate went up because the people that actually clicked were prepared for that sticker shock. So yeah, absolutely.
That's not going to sit well with a lot of people, Chris, because they're going to be thinking about click-through rate and quality score all that kind of stuff. But as we were talking when we answered a question on Thursday, maybe it's not about perfection and highest level thinking. It's not about statistics and numbers. It's about business results.
Yep.
Money into the bank account of the advertiser. So I agree with that. Now, Chris, when you said you're not a big user right now of responsive search ads, I got a little nervous because I see those in my recommendations.
Well, that's Jason. We're talking about perfection here, so I feel like recommendations is a.
Well, I wanted to throw something by you because I've been very nonchalantly saying that I have a gut feeling that recommendations plays a role in quality score.
Mm.
And following those.
Yep.
However, as my quest for understanding quality score has been going on and is now ended because I did solve quality score. I don't know if I can talk about it publicly, but I did solve it. I figured it out. But one of the things I found, Chris, is if you hover over the help for recommendations, it says right there in the help in the account, note in bold, the little gray background on this, optimization score is shown for active search, display, and shopping campaigns only. Optimization score is not used by your quality score or ad rank.
Right. The optimization score is not a measurement that's considered for ad rank or a quality score, but the things that you do that would change the optimization score also would change the quality score. So they're running a parallel track.
Wow. So you're not taking... Wow. Interesting. That's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
But I want to get into that with you at some point because that's very interesting. But...
Because one thing I'll say just to... Because a lot of people listen to the show for the first time and they, you know, how is this show any different? The thing that you can hear on this show that you wouldn't hear anywhere else, Jason has...
I think you learn how this show's different the first 10 seconds.
That's true. That's true. I love the GIF that someone posted on the Facebook page, like people listening to the podcast and hearing...
I know, he wanted me to... I appreciate that because someone posted on our Patreon Facebook group a picture of like Bart Simpson or someone walking into a restaurant.
Grandpa.
And then turning around twice, grandpa, and then walking out. And what there's a little debate going on there. The way I took that is that he's saying they're too short and then people are, they don't like the short intros and then they leave.
I don't think anyone interpreted it that way.
As you saw today, I'm going to be doubling down on these intros and going longer. So I appreciate him pointing that out.
I just have to say all the people on Patreon, you deserve every extra second because you guys asked for it. So don't come complaining to me. So what I was saying was the big difference on the show is that nowhere on this list, I got a hint for you, nowhere on our third part three version of this are we going to say a perfect Google Ads campaign has nines and tens, eight nines and tens. We're not going to say that. So spoiler, that's not considered a perfect campaign because it's not reality.
Now, Chris, talking about ad testing, I think this is controversial, but to me, perfection is perfection, but it's also based in reality. So if you could run ad tests on every single ad group in your account, even the ones that get 20 impressions a month, that is quote unquote perfection, but real world perfection. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make with ad copy is running their test on a massive level and spending their time looking at all the smallest ad groups and not just like quadrupling their testing time and efforts on the high volume ad groups, high impression ad groups that actually produce the traffic. So that's what perfection looked like to me. Now, Chris, ad group level extensions, I'm going to call this perfection. When possible, your ad extensions, call out, site links, snippets, whatever other extensions you can do. Maybe the call one, of course, doesn't matter as much to the ad group, but I don't think you're perfect unless you're doing ad group level extensions.
That's not day-to-day reality,
no. But that's perfection.
That's true. It's very true. And I'll absolutely say that is not a level that I typically have. I mean, and most of the time, my ad extensions are campaign level. I'm not going to go in.
Well, yeah, most of the time for most people, it's campaign level. But if you're running down that checklist and you're like, man, these results are great. We've been running for 18 months. How can we make it better?
Ad group
level extensions, themed extensions. Yeah, I love those, Chris.
That's true.
I love those.
Yeah, because service A might have a better site link or a better call out than service D or something like that.
Or the types, like if you got an accident attorney ad group versus slip and fall attorney ad group. In the same campaign, you can come up with a structured snippet of types of car accidents on the car accident ad group. So
true.
You don't even know how to read what you're looking at, Chris. This is how deep I went on this list of perfection.
Yeah, I don't
schedule.
I know what you're talking
extensions.
About.
I know you know what I'm talking
you're
about.
You're truly sticking to the perfection idea here because I feel like we're skewing from reality, but you're right.
No,
go ahead.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, Chris. You can schedule many of your ad extensions.
That's true.
Call extension, if you don't take calls at certain times of the day, you should schedule your call extension not to show up because people are going to call and you're not going to answer. If you run ads on Sundays and it's not typically a kind of business people would think would be open on Sundays, but your ads are there and you want them to contact you, you can run a call out that only shows up on Sundays because you schedule it for mm-hmm. Sundays that says, open for Sundays, contact us, something like that. So I think scheduling your extensions and reviewing that is a kind of perfect thing to do. And then, Chris, my final ad group, ads, extensions, area of perfection is I'm going to make a claim. Ad group level negative keywords are a sign of a great campaign manager.
Okay.
How does that sit with you?
I absolutely agree. To a degree, the only thing I would say that I would pull back on is I often see a lot of people that will say, I'm going to put these keywords with this city name in this one. And I'm going to put these keywords with this city name in the other one. And then I'm going to put a negative city name in each one of them to block from any overlap so that one ad doesn't show in the wrong ad group. I would say that kind of detail often leads to you missing out on clicks because sometimes someone might put both. What if they do both those terms? What if they happen to include both those terms? What if there's overlap? You've now lost it completely. There's nowhere for the ad to show. So I would say too much detail can be a detriment.
Chris, hold on. Don't just like, you got to help people here. What you just said was so important. Okay. And it's so, I'm listening to the words and I'm thinking about my own experiences in the past with clients sending me screenshots, threatening me with weaponry, saying, why is my ad not showing?
You have the worst clients.
And then me saying, it's a thing. But Chris, me going back to them very aggressively, like, what are you talking about? Of course we're targeting that. You think I'm an idiot? You think we're this many months into a campaign? You think I'm an idiot?
Uh-oh.
And then they get a little more aggressive with their weaponry. I said, cool down. Let's just tell me what you see. And then they send me the screenshot. I'm like, how could that be?
Yep.
And then I look at the budget. Are we out of budget? I look at my settings. Are we targeting that area? I look at my keywords. Are we targeting those keywords? I look at my negative keyword at the campaign level and at the list level. And I'm like, why are we not showing? And then it finally hits me. Oh, dang. Both words are included in a search. And Chris, I'm just on the accident injury lawyer today thing. So if you have an ad group for accident lawyer, an ad group for injury lawyer, and you put in the negative keyword accident on the injury lawyer ad group to force ads to show when they do an injury search, someone could search injured in an accident, need a lawyer.
Oh,
all of a sudden, perfect. Car accident injury, need a lawyer. All of a sudden, you have a great search. And you're not showing up.
Not showing up.
The next thing you know, you have a pistol point at your temple, and you're like, man, I thought I was just managing campaigns here. And they're like, no, you work for very special people. And I'm like, okay,
that was a perfect example. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Chris, I'm throwing it. Of course it was a perfect example. You think I just do this part-time, dude? You think I just sit around
and play video games? I'm just trying to convey.
Well, Chris, I don't want, you know what? I want a little respect on my name right now because I get this from clients sometimes. They go, clients I've had for years, do you have another thing going? Do you do this full-time? You think I'm playing games here, Chris? Like, this is what I do in and out every single day, and nobody does it like me on the planet. And it's because I have experiences like that in my head, visceral experiences of how embarrassing that was and how easy it was to make that mistake because I was a young manager in the game doing stupid things like ad group negative keywords, but doing it stupidly, over-aggressively, thinking I'm going to control things to such a T. So, Chris, I'm thinking about that visceral experience, how easy it is to make that mistake, and then I'm hearing you just rattle on, ad groups, you block two keywords in the same ad group. It did not sound like such an intense problem that it actually is, because it's just words. But just take a minute and explain everything. No, I'm just kidding. I explained it for
you. You got
us.
It. No, but Chris, that's it.
No, it was just such a good point you brought up. Like, that can really screw you up. So the question is, why would you do ad group negative keywords? Why do you do that if it's so easy to mess up there? Why? What's the benefit of it?
Well, I think for me, the most common time that I do it is not because I want to protect the integrity of one campaign and not have any overlap. That's a bad idea. Negative ad group keywords are often a good idea when I don't want it to use synonyms for one keyword, but I'm not necessarily sure that it applies everywhere. I want to block certain terms in a specific ad group that, is it free? Free is a good one, right? There's plenty of instances when free would not be a good one for one ad group, but you may not want to exclude it for the entire campaign because, as anyone knows, this is an easy example, but free shipping or, free estimate, things like that could be a good.
If you're running ads on words like free or cost or price and or fee or quote, and you're showing up on those, you're probably doing that because you want to see if those work. So you want to control that and make sure that that ad group that you're targeting those, you can get clean data. Another example, Chris, is some ad groups I have massive bids, as massive as you can get. I know the number in my head.
Yeah, you do.
I don't feel like sharing it today. I don't want to deal with the stigma that happens when I say these numbers. But some ad groups, I really am bidding the max,
Yeah.
And then other ad groups, I'm bidding a 20th of that. And I don't want a word that could technically show up in the max ad group.
Good point.
And get thrown in with that topic. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm bidding way too much on a search. Another example, Chris, got examples for days. The word Inc., the word LLC, you can block those at the campaign level. But what if you're running a competitor ad group because you're trying that out and you've got Pure Broad in there because you want to show up on a bunch of comparisons and just see how that performs. So you have the competitor ad group with the low bid. Well, if you add LLC Inc. because you've seen it come in, maybe the and symbol, you're going to block your competitor ad group from getting a ton of traffic. But if you add it at the ad group level outside of the competitor ad group, you can still show
that's
it
a
up
good point.
There. So that's like a – it's like – I don't know. The only way I can think of it is like dynamite, Chris. Like, it's kind of like Pure Broad keywords. Ad group negative keywords are very powerful, but it's a big responsibility to use them the right way. They can mess you up the right way. Good today, Chris.
On fire. That was a great, ad group negative keywords are like dynamite. Powerful.
They're like dynamite.
But they require a huge amount of responsibility. What a great quote.
You gotta know what you're doing.
I'm going to put that on my wall.
Yeah, know what you're doing. I feel like I could dirty talk my way Indos with Google Ads. If anyone ever made that kind of a themed, if you will, production,
right?
I feel like they need to cast me. Maybe not as talent, but as a writer, I could be
just like illusion, like illustrations and different ways of using incredible language to make a point that's not directly making that point. Yeah,
language that's so powerful and so intimidating and just so emotion, it just stirs you up.
Yeah,
talking about Google Ads account, and then one thing leads to another, and next thing you know, you have a podcast. So, Chris, let's
talk. Now, Jason, quick huddle right here. I think this next section is so important that what do you think? We push remarketing into episode 3 because I think this next one is going to require a little bit more than just like 2 minutes of discussion. What do you think?
I think I'm going to pierce to the level of conversion so deeply that you're going to realize that it was just one sentence that needed to be said about perfection on conversions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
And then we'll be able to move on. But you know what? Now that I'm looking at it, remarketing, it's its own thing. If it takes four episodes, it takes four episodes. If we do a full episode on remarketing, probably won't. But yeah, if you want to call it, we can call it after conversions. I'm good with that.
Okay. Okay, because I think
I've got places to be, people to see.
Because we have many questions that have come in through our Q&A show, paidsearchpodcast.com. Click on the contact link and you can send in a question. But this is, our next topic is conversions. I mean, a perfect campaign, a perfect account. Again, I'm going to throw down the gauntlet just like you did. And I'm going to say, a perfect campaign has to have conversions. I just don't see another situation where it, you know, there's a perfect campaign where you have no idea where. I mean, of course, there's always a level of quality of traffic, and that is a wonderful threshold to maintain. But you have to go deeper. You have to go as far as actions on site, phone calls to a phone number. I mean,
you have to, because I was running a campaign for a new client in the industry, and I did not think their strategy was going to work. It was the kinds of searches you wouldn't want to show up on. I told them not to do it, and they said, well, just look at the past data and just give it a shot. And so we gave it a shot, and it's not intuitive stuff, Chris. It's stuff you think would not work, but it actually works great.
I've seen it.
These kinds of targeting, and you don't know that without conversions. Now, I'm going to take it one step further, because we all know about conversions. I don't think, and this is, Chris, this is going to twist you up in a pretzel. It's going to be hard for everyone to take, myself included.
Okay.
But we're talking perfection here. We're talking about how you can make things better. Had a little itch I was going to scratch. I scratched. That's all that was.
Thanks. Yeah. Because I've never scratched my ear.
Maybe we'll clean it up in post. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Depends what the audience likes, you know?
It's all on...
I'm just letting this one breathe, Chris. I'm just letting it land for a second. We're all just anticipating it,
The maggots are about to crawl through it because it's getting kind of old. I'm waiting for the bomb.
It's a red wine. It's a fine wine, Chris. There are no maggots. It's only going up in value.
Okay. All right.
It's a circa 2020.
You just, you know, it's a wonder we should be paid by the minute, because you just stretch it out. I mean, here we go.
How about a little break for self-promotion, Chris? I'm doing a series on my YouTube channel now called Corona Clicks. Every day that we're all going through this, I'm talking about this, and I'm doing talking about it in a aspect of pay-per-click management. I went for 20 minutes yesterday, just talking to myself.
In your tiny little cell space, you're like...
In my cell.
Yeah, talking for 20 minutes. That's a talent. I feel like that's... That's a talent. I have to say, I love that, because you mentioned your Corona Clicks messaging. It takes me back to, I don't know, a couple of years ago probably, when you made a commitment that you said, it was beginning of the year or something like that. You were on fire. You're like, I'm going to wear a suit and tie every day, and I'm going to show up to work, and I'm going to be like the manager. I'm going to be the owner of my business. I'm going to be dressed for success. You know, I'm going to record a touch point every time at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to connect with the people.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That was cute for about 2 weeks before it ended. I love Jason gets fired up, and then like sometimes life just kind of smacks him. He's like, okay, I can't do that anymore.
Or maybe I got the opportunity of a lifetime and I don't have the time anymore. Maybe there's things you don't know, Chris. Maybe you don't know everything, even though you have that stupid Texas bumper sticker on your stupid mug I got to see every week. Get a different mug.
Oh, this mug. Oh.
Get a different drink thing.
Are you kidding me? The Texas, like just the Texas flag? That offends you? We will buy your state. Right after we're done buying Canada, we will just buy Oklahoma. And we'll just use it to put our jails in. That's what we'll do.
That's funny.
Just put jails in it.
All right, Chris. I think we've had some proper letting this one breathe.
Okay, fine.
All right, Chris. You cannot have a perfect Google Ads account if you are not tracking conversion values.
Oh. Ooh.
And so if you're out there and you think you're a hotshot, you think you're a great Google Ads manager, you're not doing as good as you could do if you're not tracking conversion values. You're just not.
That's true.
To me, that is where that's all I got to say about conversions, Chris. We can talk about hard conversions and soft conversions. That's a little thing we were going to say. Like, yeah, in a perfect campaign, you're tracking hard conversions, lead forms, phone calls. You're tracking sales. You're tracking soft conversions, newsletter signups, time on site, pages per session, viewed a certain page, whatever, the softer conversions. But to me, perfection is you're tracking both, but you also have a conversion value set up on every single conversion type, both hard. It takes me X amount of leads to get a sale. So I'm going to break that down by that many leads to get a sale. I'm going to say it takes 8 leads to get a sale. I'm going to divide the total value of a sale by 8. And that is going to be put on the value of the lead conversion.
Yep.
But also the soft conversions, time on site, newsletter sign up. Ooh. You work through scenarios where someone signs up for my newsletter. You just write it down. You do a little thought process. What percent of people who sign up for your newsletter end up becoming clients one day? What is that worth to you one day? And running through those numbers and then putting some kind of value doesn't have to be, you're never going to be exactly accurate when you're dealing with lead generation and softer conversions as well. But you got to put some kind of value on it. And when you do that, the magic is you know your return on ad spend. You know how much revenue you're producing for your ad spend every time you get a soft or hard conversion. Or if you want to track profit, you track profit. But you actually know the value of a conversion. You're not doing it perfect. Now, Chris, a lot of people aren't doing values out there. We'll leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. Yeah. But isn't that the truth? Like, you're not really doing it perfect if you don't have conversion values.
That's absolutely a big slice of beef. That's a beautiful red wine. You're exactly right. Let me put the cup of coffee and the slice of pie in front of you and finish it up with this, because at this point, if you are using, let me paint the scenario of Greg, who's doing just conversions, and Sally, who's doing conversions with conversion values. Okay. Greg looks at a conversion rate. He looks at a cost per conversion. He looks at total conversions, right? That's where his world lives. And he sees cost per conversion of $100. And he pushes, you know, he's like, you know, you guys, you know, you're generating leads at $100 cost per conversion. This is, you know, and you're selling up for $2,000. This is great. This is working amazing. Now, Sally over here, she has set up a conversion system that places priority on email signups and then the super high priority of booking an appointment. You know, that has the highest value. She's living in the world of looking at conversion value over cost, which is Google's version of return on ad spend, ROI. So Sally is saying she's made completely different changes in her campaign, but that's because she's determined that $100 cost per acquisition cost per lead, she doesn't get that. If you look at her numbers, she's actually getting $300 cost per conversion. But her return on ad spend number is like a 3.4, you know, a 6.1. It's a completely different world. You would think that Greg is doing a better job because he has $100 cost per conversion, but Sally's actually winning it because the $300 cost per conversion is pushing the leads that mean the most, the hard to get ones, the ones that she pushes. Her cost per click is $16 per click, whereas Greg is cranking in tons and tons of conversions for 50 cents per click, you know, and Greg's sending them a ton of crap leads, whereas Sally's sending superior quality leads. That's the picture.
Greg has eyes that look. Sally has eyes that see.
Oh man,
you want to go upstairs, Chris? Yeah. You want to get some dessert?
That's it. I mean, we're done.
Do I have you wrapped around my finger right now? These lines that I'm throwing out there, Chris. No, and one of the most frustrating things about being a Google Ads manager is I try to get my clients to fork over the value of a client or customer. What's the value for this type of service you offer?
I don't know, Jason.
They either are wily foxes and they're not going to tell me that number because they don't want me to know. Honestly, I run into that sometimes, Chris. They don't like me having that lever. They don't like it, Chris. They don't like where I'm kind of that important to them, you know, where I'm able to just like actually prove that how good I run into that every now and then. But more often, they just don't know. And so your role as a Google Ads manager, it can be just to play around with clicks and bids and all that kind of stuff, or you can be better at your job and be kind of almost a business consultant and tell them like, hey, you're running marketing campaigns, whether it's Google Ads or another platform, you got to know the value of what you're getting, what the goal is. And so I'm about to,
uh-oh,
I pulled them up. I got to pull them back down, Chris.
Oh, they're coming. Okay. There. I didn't even see you unbutton them. Are they that loose? You could just like literally.
I've been running, okay. Losing some weight.
You look great. From the waist down, you look great. I can't.
Chris, everyone knows I run marketing for my own business. I love remarketing, all that kind of stuff. Usher Part 2, these are my confessions.
Oh, wow.
Got to tell you about the baby I had with someone else.
Wow.
It's the hardest thing I'll ever have to do.
Uh-huh.
To look you in the eyes and tell you to walk away.
Do you know the whole song? Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm mixing 98 degrees with it. Chris, I already did. I pulled them down. I'm running remarketing campaigns right now. You know what I'm doing, Chris?
What?
I'm tracking conversions.
Okay.
For myself. Okay. I'm tracking leads.
Sure.
Phone calls.
Yeah.
I'm tracking lead forms. And I'm doing it good. Like, I'm actually, you know what I'm actually doing? Well, I don't want to get into that, but I'm tracking leads.
Okay.
I'm tracking leads. Thought it was just you and me. Like, I pulled down my pants. I was like, oh, it must
it's
be
just
me
and you
right now.
You know what I'm doing? I'm going to tell you my whole secret right now. Oh, wait.
All right. So, Chris, I'm tracking leads very extensively and very professionally. I'm very proud of the work I'm doing for myself with my campaigns. But you know what I'm not doing? I don't have a value set up on those conversions in the account, even for myself. That's how this is a rare thing, in my opinion, the value and actually optimizing that way. I think it's a rare thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a rare thing. So I'm not even doing it myself because it's just so easy to get in there, try to get conversions, make yourself feel good about conversions, and then move on with your day. Like, yeah, I see the leads coming in. I'm getting leads. This is working. Moving on. But I'm taking this pledge, this pantless pledge.
Oh, wow.
Today, I'm putting in conversion values for my own campaign, and I'm optimizing off return on spend. And any time I work with a client now, I'm going to push it so hard, Chris, that I will – as one individual, turn this industry around, and 5 years from now, someone's going to be pitching someone on a Google Ads campaign, and the move is going to be a slap to the face.
Oh, to the face.
If you pitch me on a Google Ads campaign without forcing me to do a return on ad spend to track the values of the conversions, without forcing me to give you a value per customer, so we can get a value per conversion, I'm going to slap you if someone pitching me, because we have to do this, Chris. It's so much. I'll put it this way. When I see an account where we have conversion values, the circle has been completed, Chris.
Mm. Yep.
I see everything. It's so clear what you need to do.
Yeah.
It's so clear. All the mystery is gone. All the mystery is gone. But then when you see conversions without the value, it's a whole lot better than no conversions.
Oh, yep.
When you define those conversions by conversion action and know if you're dealing with soft or hard conversions, it's a whole lot better than no conversions, but it's so much further than that feeling and the ability to manage when you have that conversion value. So to me, that's perfection.
Oh, all right. Well, that's it. He's pulling his pants back up. I think he really did. I think he did. You really? Really? Oh, he's even zipping. He really did. Okay. All right, guys. Optio is the reason that you're listening to Jason. We incredibly successful people here, and we just can't give our time away for free. Go tell Optio that you're thankful that they are sponsoring and helping you get this wonderful content from the wise teacher that we have of Jason Rothman. Optio is the tool to get things done faster in Google Ads. It does all kinds of things, from keywords to ad copy to doing and automating the things that you grind out and get sick of. If you're in-house, you know, you want to do lots of ad copy tests and you want to tweak keywords, it can help you. If you're working with tons and tons of clients, this tool will help you work with those clients more efficiently, get things done faster with tons of clients. Optio.com/PSP. Use a little chat box there and tell them, hey, can I get a 6-week extended trial because I'm special? And they'll say, oh, you must be a PSP listener. Here you go, sir. All right. So that's it. Check them out. OPTEO.com/PSP.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to tell everybody to go to directiveconsulting.com/institute. You heard about what Directive did for Active PDF at the top of the show, and you can learn all those digital marketing strategies at directiveconsulting.com/institute. There's over 40 actionable video tutorials. There's an official certification. You can get complete access there for a very affordable price. I'm looking at it right now on their site. PPC, SEO, conversion rate optimization, analytics and optimization, taught by the best. You go there right now, directiveconsulting.com/institute. Learn by doing. It's a step-by-step digital marketing training to drive more sales to any business. You get 4 lessons for free. Try it out today, directiveconsulting.com/institute. So, Chris, we're going to take this party over to the VIP room, mm-hmm. over to Patreon.
We have a couple questions. So we answer some topic of Google Ads management, the business of Google Ads. We have questions that come in that we dedicate answering those specifically, not on the Q&A show, which we do every Thursday, but specifically on our Patreon Q&A, which we do every now and then. So join us there, $2 a month or $4 a month for the video, specialized video access, where you can see Jason from the waist down, I hear. So there's a special tier for that. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll be back next week for the third installment, and we'll be back Thursday with another Q&A show. Thanks for listening.